Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, now we come to a little bit different instruction as we make our way along in Romans chapter 12. For in coming to verse 14, we read, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." Now, if you've been following, or if you are familiar with the book of Romans, you recognize that chapter 12 contains a long list of short, pointed instructions. Short, pointed commands of how believers are to live their Christian lives. And so, in that regard, this one doesn't look that much different. We're just going down through here, starting, for example, in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." So in one respect, this is just another one of on the list, a whole list of things that describe and define what it means to live out our Christian faith day by day in the world with the people who are around us. However, a close examination of the text reveals that there is here actually some change in both style and topic. As to style, and you would have to be a Greek scholar to catch this, or at least read Greek scholars, you don't have to be one to know this. I don't consider myself a Greek scholar, but I have in my library some Greek scholars. I'm glad to be able to consult with them and get some help on understanding the Greek text. We've all heard the little joke about the man who asked a preacher friend, "Do you know any Greek?" And he said, "Yes, I know a little Greek. He runs a tailor shop down the street." Well, I know a little Greek. I've taken a couple years, I guess actually altogether about 2.5 years of Greek language study, but I can't say that I'm any Greek scholar. It wasn't the easiest subject that I ever took, and a lot of it has frankly left me. If you don't work with it in a very intensive way and keep it up over the years, then it does begin to fade somewhat. But thankfully, I know a little Greek. Not a little Greek who runs a tailor shop down the street, but I know a number of Greek scholars who visit me whenever I pull them off my bookshelves, and that's very, very helpful. So I wanted to say that, so you don't think I'm trying to make myself out of some Greek scholar. But there's a change in style here from what Greek scholars tell me are imperatical participles in verses 9 through 13 to imperatives starting in verse 14. Now, an imperatical participle is also an imperative, but it's a different form of an imperative, not quite so direct. All of these are imperatives. They're all instructions. An imperative is a command. But an imperatical participle is not quite as straight and strong. It's kind of like nudging you in the right direction, whereas a straight-out imperative is almost like punching you to get your attention. The difference between a nudge and a pretty hard blow, I suppose, a hard punch to the shoulder or something. So there is a bit of a change in style. What we are to make of that, I'm not sure. But there's also, and here's probably what is more important, there is a change in topic, because Now we are moving from responsibilities to Christians, other Christians, and to our responsibilities to unbelievers, to the world. You see, verse 10 said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference one to another. That's a requirement, a command for how believers are to relate to other believers. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints. That's how we are to relate to other believers, fellow church members, and so forth. But now when we come to verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. We are talking now about a different object of our actions, namely those who are unbelievers. And there are two closely related instructions that are given here. Number one, we are to bless them which persecute you. And number two, we are to bless and curse not. Now, that's very closely related. You might not even see any distinction at all. It almost might seem like two ways of saying the same thing, sort of a poetic repetition. And it would seem that way, and yet there are some minor developments in the second phrase that we don't find in the first one, and so let's look at those as we take them up one by one. But now, let's take that first phrase. Bless them which persecute you. Persecute you. Those who hound you. Those who harm you. Those who plot against you. Those who make you the object of their unjust and malicious treatment. Those who persecute you. It's interesting. At its root, this word persecute is related to the word pursue in verse 13, which is translated in my Bible, given to hospitality. Pursuing hospitality, I just remind you once again, we're going back to Friday's and Thursday's broadcast, but I just remind you once again, God takes the practice of hospitality very seriously, and he expects believers to take it seriously and to truly work at it, to develop it, to pursue it. Kind of like the way people who have a vengeful spirit will hound and plot against those that they have it in for. Now, we're not supposed to have that kind of spirit, of course, but we are to pursue, we are to plan, we are to think about, we are to make this a big deal in our lives in practicing hospitality in a way that evil and vicious people will spend time and energy plotting, planning, and carrying out their forms of persecution. So there are people who will persecute you. And what are we supposed to do in response? Bless them? Oh, come on. Oh, please. Yep, we know that's what Christ taught, and here it is again, as taught by the Apostle Paul. We know it. But we find this difficult, at least I do. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, maybe you don't, but I sure do. Bless those who persecute you. It seems like all that God should require at the basic requirement is just, you know, don't retaliate. Don't, you know, try to ignore them. Don't get in the vengeful spirit. We know the Bible teaches that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, and so forth. But to actually go so far as to bless them. Now, the word bless is used in various ways in the Bible. It means bestowing favor. When God blesses us, he bestows favors upon us. When we bless God, and the Bible does talk about us blessing God, that's to ascribe to him praise that is due to him, because we can't do God any favors. We cannot do God any favors. God does favors to us all the time. We are incapable of doing God any favors. And if we think that what we are doing to serve God, to give to God, to obey God, is doing him a favor, we have the wrong idea. So bless can be used in various ways. God blesses us. We know what that means. This is a blessing come from God, and we usually means this is a favor. This is a tangible evidence of God's loving kindness and goodness to me in that He did this for me. He provided this for me. He protected me in this way. He guided me in this way. He provided for me in this way. This is God blessing me. We bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's to ascribe to Him praise that is due unto Him. We bless Him. We praise Him. We call Him blessed. We count Him blessed. We articulate that we consider Him to be the blessed God and only Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, we bless others. And what do we do when we bless others? Well, number one, we can bless others by invoking God's blessing upon them. Sometimes we say to people, God bless you. What do we mean? We mean, it's my desire that God will bless you, that God will bestow favor upon you. And we pray for people that God will bless them, and we wish God's grace and mercy and favor upon them. The opposite of curse. But we can also bless people, of course, by helping them. Like God bestows favors upon us when He blesses us, we can bless others by doing something favorable for them. And that seems to be included in what is required here. It is a present imperative. We are to be constantly blessing those who persecute you. Wow. Wow. And so how do we bless them? Well, first of all, in what we say to God. When we pray about people who are mistreating us, what do we pray? Do our prayers primarily consist of, God, protect me. God, stop this person. God, deal with this person. God, judge this person. God, bring vengeance down upon this person. That's not always and totally improper, because we do find some examples of that in the Bible. But this is suggesting to us that the first thing we ought to pray for is for God to bless them. And so, first of all, it includes what we say to God, but secondly, it includes what we say to them. What do we say when we meet people like this? You say, as little as possible. Believe you me, I try to avoid them. I go the other way. I turn the other way. I look the other direction. I avoid speaking to them at all. I'll cross the street, go on the other side, or I'll turn my head and look the other direction for people like this on the job, in the neighborhood, at school, yes, even sometimes at church. I know that's what you do. That's what we are all inclined to do. And I know because I see it going on around me, and sometimes it is obvious to me that some people are avoiding speaking to me or speaking to others. You can see it. It's so evident. But the Bible tells us to bless those who persecute you. Now, what I've just described a moment ago is primarily what I've observed in the church, Christians in regard to other Christians. That's even a different category than what we have here. But if God expects us to bless, that is to speak to them blessing to their face rather than cursing them, speak blessing to them, if God expects us to bless others face to face, who are obviously our enemies, who mean to do us harm, then surely no less is expected of our Christian brothers with whom we might have some tension or problem. Until tomorrow, at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.